Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Josh.
Hello. This is Scott.
And we're super glad to be back with you. It's we're recording this on Monday, though you won't get it till Tuesday, but it is cold.
It is cold. Super brisk Monday.
Yep. There's snow flurries outside, and the colors are all pretty. Mm-hmm. There's a tree right in front of the tower. Mm-hmm. That's all manner of bright colors. So
if somebody doesn't see the tree before the leaves are off, just come find me. Mm-hmm. Because it's I've got a picture on my phone of it.
Yeah.
From Sunday. Mm-hmm. Beautiful tree right in front of the, as you said, right in front of the tower.
Yeah. It's such a, you know, I don't know if it's getting older. I feel like everybody I talk to, like this year when it's hit fall, everybody's like super excited about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we had if it was a rough summer for everybody and everybody's ready to move on or we just like the cool weather or what, but it's fun.
Well, it's a beautiful fall around here in Middle Tennessee. So welcome everyone who came from outside of Middle Tennessee.
That's right.
In the past few years. We've got a good little stretch of weather here.
That's right. It was a good Sunday. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. Had some cool stuff happening over the weekend. Had a women's gathering on Friday night and great service on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but we're continuing on in Acts, and we're kind of at the beginning. We just started the beginning of a new kind of episode.
Yeah, a big transition episode. Mm-hmm. Real quick. But please listen to the sermon if you weren't here, because I won't be able to cover it in this podcast. But quickly, it is a big transition episode, because the scene is still in Jerusalem, and a man named Stephen, who is chosen to first oversee distribution of food to widows, is also a great preacher of the gospel, and he's preaching, and some of the people in Jerusalem dispute him in all that he says about Jesus. And they falsely accuse him, and he launches into this fantastic sermon in Acts 7, which then leads to them actually persecuting him to the point of killing him. Hmm. That then prompts a big persecution of the church, and Christians are scattered, which then becomes used by God as the means to carry the gospel outside of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And then really, if you stop and think about it, that's the point at which we're traveling all the way with Paul to Rome.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stop off in between there with missionary journeys and that sort of thing. So it is that this section, the second half of Acts 6 through the first few verses of Acts 8 is the catalyst that moves the gospel from Jerusalem to the nations. And that's why it's such an important transition moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. All revolving around this man named Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you identified Stephen in your sermon as someone who's filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot, you spent a good bit of time sort of trying to explain what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And some things like that.
Yeah.
And so I had a couple of follow-up things about that.
Okay. Maybe some clarifications.
Maybe so.
Maybe I wasn't that clear, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. One was, you have somebody, you have Stephen, he's filled with the Spirit, and then he's performing signs and wonders. Uh-huh. That's kind of how the spotlight gets shown on him, right? And how he becomes the target in this moment. And so the question might be, if we can also be filled with the Spirit, and you also talked about how this is just an ordinary guy. Mm-hmm. It's not like he was some dynamic person beforehand, but so now he's filled with the Spirit, and now he's doing signs and wonders, and he winds up being a martyr for the faith. Mm-hmm. If we're also ordinary people, like Stephen, and we wind up filled with the Spirit, does that mean that we will be doing these kind of extraordinary things like he did? Is that just something that comes along with being filled with the Spirit automatically?
Yeah, no. Now, let me talk about it for a second. Mm-hmm. The reason it's so important to just get very clear on that is because sometimes people teach that. They teach that people who are filled with the Spirit or people who somehow get really filled with the Spirit or people who somehow do things themselves to really get filled with the Spirit, they're the ones then they're sort of in a different league, a different class of Christians, and they are the ones that do these mighty great things. Mm-hmm. The first thing we have to understand is that God distributes the gifts as he wills. God appoints people to do what he appoints them to do based on his will, his choosing, mm-hmm. and that we don't, you know, we don't control that and manipulate that. But the other thing to say is that no, Stephen in his time, we don't have any indication that he was anything other than an ordinary Hellenistic Jewish man living in Jerusalem who came to faith in Christ and then received the exact promise that every Christian receives. So Acts 2:38, every Christian receives the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so Stephen, we have no indication that he was anything other than an ordinary Christian who repented and trusted Christ and confessed Christ through baptism and received forgiveness and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, he did do these great things because God, in his sovereignty and in this redemptive moment in history, mm-hmm. Stephen then being really, I guess you could say, a second generation from the next generation from the apostles, having listened to the apostles' teaching, the Lord chose to use him in this very powerful way mm-hmm. to preach the gospel to the Jewish council there in Jerusalem. And with that preaching came signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. But not every Christian does that. And when you keep reading the New Testament, what you see is that Christians who are forgiven of their sins and given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is Acts 2:38, mm-hmm. what we all do, mm-hmm. is we all bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And we all are conformed to the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the normative thing.
Yeah.
So that's what we would say. I would say to in answer to the question and to clarify, Stephen was gifted by God to preach, and God chose in his sovereignty to do signs and wonders through him to authenticate that preaching. But he was still an ordinary Christian like the rest of us, mm-hmm. and that the signs and wonders for him were not normative. They were unique as God called him in that moment. Mm-hmm. What is normative for us is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, giving witness to Jesus by the power of the Spirit, being conformed to the image of Christ by the power of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. These are the things that the New Testament teaches are for us, the rest of us who are just ordinary people,
yeah.
who are forgiven and filled by the Spirit.
Okay. Follow up to that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a thing that's going to continue to come up in Acts over and over and over again. Uh-huh. And that is, you're saying that a person receives the Holy Spirit when they become a Christian. Mm-hmm. Is there any difference between that and what's being called being filled by the Spirit? For example, when they choose the mm-hmm. the group of men who are with the widows, helping the widows, it said they're supposed to be full of the Spirit of wisdom mm-hmm. and things like mm-hmm. that, or mm-hmm. someone being filled with the Spirit. Is that a different thing mm-hmm. than receiving the Spirit mm-hmm. when you become a Christian?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is a point of debate mm-hmm. and has been. I don't know the history of that debate, but I know it has been the past numerous decades mm-hmm. in evangelical circles, and I would answer it this way: first of all, every person, according to Acts 2:38, every person who repents mm-hmm. of their sin, trusts Christ, confesses Christ, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You cannot be in Christ or a Christian without having the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not in Christ. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Then there is this command. For instance, the Apostle Paul gives the command mm-hmm. in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it seems then that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, and that we are to be walking mm-hmm. in fellowship, in submission to, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and that then is what's called being filled with the Holy Spirit and his power to bear fruit from our lives.
Yeah.
The thing to remember is it doesn't, because people say, well, how do I know? Like, what's the evidence? It doesn't result in the signs and wonders of Stephen. It results in ongoing growth. Mm-hmm. It results in ongoing power and fruitfulness in service to other people.
Yeah.
But we are to be filled with the Spirit. So we have the Spirit, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. So we can assume then when the apostles said, choose men full of the Spirit, that they were saying, choose men who have been among us, who have repented and believed, confessed Jesus, and now are walking in fellowship with God by submission to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-inspired Word.
Yep.
They must have given some evidence of that in their lives.
Yeah.
And that is what he would call full of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that would be a way of looking at it. And that's what I think. And again, that's debatable. Yeah. People think that different ways, but that's my best understanding of what's happening
there. Yeah. And people can show that evidence, but that doesn't necessarily or automatically in any way come accompanied with signs and wonders or something.
Absolutely.
So you can be an ordinary person who is filled by the Spirit. And you can also be a Christian who maybe has the Holy Spirit because you've trusted in Christ, but might not be pursuing this be filled with the Spirit command the way that you should. We're all supposed to strive towards that.
Right. Sin in our lives grieves the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We're not going to be fruit-bearing Christians like Galatians 5 tells us to be. Sin is going to, sin in our lives, harboring sin, unbelief, neglect, is going to cause our witness for Christ not to be as strong. And of course, the Lord can use anything, so I'm being very careful here.
Yeah.
But the more positive way of saying it is that every person who is in Christ can be filled with the Holy Spirit and can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Dramatic ways, non-dramatic ways, that's not the point. The point is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is evidence that that we are walking in fellowship and in submission to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Great. And that's for every believer.
Yeah, that's great. We also spent a moment talking about using or manipulating the Holy Spirit for our own selfish reasons. I think you talked about, am I remember the name right? Apollos, the magician.
Simon.
Simon, not Apollos.
Yeah, that's right.
Apollos
was a good guy.
He was a good guy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Misrepresented. He wants to purchase the use of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So I just wanted to zero in on that for a minute. Like, how might that play out?
Well, and we'll come to this in Acts 8. But yes, there was a man called Simon the magician, and he saw the apostles and the power of the Spirit working through their lives, and he offered them money and wanted to get that power. And Peter rebuked him severely. I don't want to judge people's hearts, but you know, I will say that I think I've heard enough talk and seen enough in my life to believe that many people in the Christian world think that the Holy Spirit is somehow for their personal gain, maybe their personal success in an endeavor. They might think that they can somehow talk enough and do enough things in a certain context that might give them a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. So using the Holy Spirit for some kind of emotional experience. Some people might think that they can have the Holy Spirit and somehow, you know, have enough faith or whatever to have the Holy Spirit so that they can know things. So they can like know the future or have some kind of deep insight into events, and they say, oh, I know exactly what God's doing because the Spirit has revealed. And I just, you know, that kind of stuff you got to be careful because we're really stepping up to the line of believing that we can somehow control or perform, or I would use the word manipulate things in such a way that we get the Spirit, but we're getting the Spirit for our personal gain, experience, knowledge, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When that's just not the way it is. That's borderline Simon the magician. Maybe not offering money, but thinking we can somehow control this thing. I think, you know, in the history of the evangelical church, I think preachers have sort of done this. You know, they can say things the right way and long enough and do certain methods to get people to respond in certain ways and say that's the work of the Spirit. and that has some kind of outward manifestation of a lot of people coming to faith or whatever. It's got to be super careful. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. We do not manipulate the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder if there's something to, you know, I'm thinking about something like evangelism, you know, like we talk about like, you mentioned having sort of a formula to bring the Holy Spirit about, to like be filled with the Spirit. You just check off these boxes or something like that. And you said, you know, we can't do that. I wonder if there's something connected to like in evangelism, like this is a work that the Spirit has to do in someone's life, right? So we could almost be attempting to bypass the work of the Spirit by just having all the right answers or having a good argument or something like that. I know that's not exactly the same thing here, but in that case, it's kind of like we're trying to do the work of the Spirit instead of letting the Spirit do the work of the Spirit.
I think there is a connection. It might be a dotted line, but it is there. In that, again, we think that we can somehow control this. Now, let's be very clear that there is obedience. Let's go back to your evangelism question. There is obedience. We should present the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should say it clearly. We should know what we're talking about. We should be able to give a defense, an answer for the hope that is within us. And then we do that.
Yeah.
And then we trust and we rely upon the Holy Spirit to do His work, because we can't do anything of spiritual good in another person's heart. We can only be obedient to the Lord and let the Lord do, you know, do His work.
Yeah.
Which is right back to, I think, where Stephen was.
Yeah.
Stephen was not manipulating anything. He wasn't running a formula to get the Spirit. We have no indication from the biblical text that Stephen did anything other than repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord, walk in submission to the Lord, and then God did His work in Stephen and through Stephen. And we have to do that in evangelism and everything in our lives.
Okay. Well, you kind of wrapped things up in the sermon with like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Right? And you kind of, we started with, you can't do, check off these boxes and make it happen, but we can do some things.
Yeah.
Can we just end...
on some positive stuff, yeah. Well, I think we certainly should, and that was the last part of the sermon on Sunday. And one of the main things I would say is let's let the mystery be the mystery. You know, let's leave the secret things to the Lord. The Lord moves sovereignly as He chooses. But then there are things that belong to us,
right?
And so, what are they? Well, we should trust the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We should absolutely believe, be aware of, be consciously aware and believe that God has promised the Holy Spirit to His children who trust in Christ.
Yeah.
We can actually pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be strong in our lives and in our churches and in our gospel presentations. We can pray.
Yeah.
That's not manipulation. We can submit. How do you submit to the Holy Spirit? You submit to this word that the Holy Spirit inspired. So that means the Bible's connected here. So we can open our Bibles and we can pray our way through them, and we can ask the Lord to conform our lives and our churches to the Bible. And when we do that, we can trust and believe that the Holy Spirit is at work. We can actually pray that the fruit of the Spirit will be more evident from our lives, from Galatians 5. So we can pray and we can do those things, and then we can be obedient. And as we do those things, we can have absolute confidence that God will not only has given us the Holy Spirit, but that the Spirit will actually do the work in our lives and through our lives for which God has given Him to us.
That's great.
And that's our calling.
Good. Anything the congregation we can be doing to prepare for this Sunday?
Yeah, I would read the seventh chapter of Acts. It's a long sermon, and you know, it's Monday. I'm still trying to figure out how this is going to be presented, but I would say absolutely read it this week and pray and look for things that, you know, look for how the structure of this sermon works, and look for the ways it points us to Christ and the ways it calls us not to resist the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people can pray for other people in our congregation who are going to be here on Sunday and who are going to hear this message. May the Lord use it to draw people to faith. as well as to strengthen the faith of all of us, but to draw people to faith for the first time, to trust Christ. So we can do that.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks.